Shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for having given us another opportunity to be in your presence this morning, to make confession of our sins, to pray for others as well as for ourselves, to listen to the singing of your word, the reading of your word, and the preaching of your word. We ask for the divine assistance of the Holy Spirit, that all that I'm about to say or do will give glory to your name and bring blessing to our lives. This we ask together with the forgiveness of all our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, church. Are you happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
We are happy to be here because we are alive. We are alive. We are awake. We are alert. And we are enthusiastic. Amen. Amen. And all that is not by our own doing. It's not because I have a very good doctor or because I eat a balanced diet. It's not because I exercise daily. It's because we have a very big God somewhere, and he's in charge of everything. This morning, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome the family of Rosalind, mom and dad. May God bless you. Congratulations for thinking of bringing and presenting your child to God. You may have thought otherwise, but I believe this is the best thing to do, because God will help you to nurture this child in Jesus' name, and for all of you who have come to support them. If you are worshiping here for the first time, will you please stand up? I see we have a host of our friends from Arlington United Methodist Church. They are here. And you know the amazing thing? We have a guy who have retired but not tired. He has been our pastor and he's still our pastor. Reverend Wes Arthur is here. May you stand? And I have all the hosts of members from the former Arlington Church. Please stand up. I feel so honored having you here this morning. And you know, my SPIC chair also is here. Maybe she's coming to take me somewhere again. Are you concerned about that? And we see all the host of our members who have been so supportive. We welcome you and may God bless you. But I would like for you to make this church your home. Think about it. Okay, think about it and join us here and you will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Do we have some more visitors who are here with us this morning? Who are worshiping with us for the first time? Yes, if you are here for the first time, just stand up, please. Stand up. Yes, sister, just a brief introduction. Your name?
Sarah Luke.
Oh, from Manassas. And that's your daughter. Okay, you are welcome and keep standing. Yes, please.
Matilda Jones.
Matilda Jones. Okay.
My name is Augustus Jones.
Okay, Augustus Jones. I'm Raymond Jones too. Okay. Yes, my sister.
Yes, good morning. Natasha Jeter from Ashburn.
Okay, Natasha, you are welcome. And the young man. Okay, you are welcome. Let us put our hands together for our guests. Amen. You may have your seats. It is no mistake that you are here this morning. God has directed you to be here this morning, and you will be surely blessed in Jesus' name. And this is your church. If you look right over there by the lectern, you see about 12 nationalities. This is a little heaven down here. It is not a white church. It is not a black church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the church of Jesus Christ. You see, we have members from Great Britain, from the Queen's country, even to the Caribbeans, even from Afghanistan. Everybody is here. So come here and make this church your home. Feel free. Amen. You are welcome at all times. God bless you. Today's sermon topic is, who is in charge, God or man? Who is in charge, God or man? The topic is in a question form, and I believe that each and every one of us will answer to this question personally as we are convinced. Who is in charge, God or man? Pastor Ray, for me, God. I don't know about you. Who is in charge this morning? And the background source to this sermon comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13, being read. And my text, the area I will focus on, is St. Mark's 7, verses 6 through verse 9. And I shall read as recorded in the Revised Standard Version. And he said to them, that is Jesus, well, did Isaiah prophesy of your hypocrisy, as it is written? These people honored me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precept of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. We have a fine way to give excuses to the things of God to keep our tradition. Who is in charge of the affairs of your life this morning? Who is responsible for you to breathe in oxygen and to give out carbon dioxide? Who is in charge, God or man? Answer me, God or man? Who is in charge? Are you not convinced that it is God who is in charge, who has given you the power to be alive? Who do we give the first preference to in our life, God or man? For most of us, it is very easy to say God, but when it comes to the crux of the matter, we compromise our trust and our faith and confidence we have for God. In order to be men pleasers, most of us will do anything in the secret to please men, but in the open, we pretend to be godly people. But remember, I may not be there. I am fighting to be what God wants me to be. I may not be there to see what you are doing, but I want us to know that we are worshiping an omnipresent God. God who is everywhere and at all times. Amen. He is everywhere and at all times, and he sees us, what we are doing, secretly and openly. We can be obedient to God, and we can be obedient to man as well. But there are certain situations in which we find ourselves in which we have to say no to man and yes to God. Do you believe that? There are certain things that are against the will of God that are not ethical. We need to say no. My faith as a Christian does not permit me to do it. No. I will not do it. Friends, but we need to do it prayerfully, decently, and courteously, not with arrogance and pomposity. Amen. In our places of work, in our community, you may face certain issues that will cause you even your job, or your life, or your integrity, or your family, but you will stand to say no to it, knowing that you are serving a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. But at times, we need no need for us to compromise our faith. We need to say no. During the 10 years rebel war in Sierra Leone, I was there. And from time to time, the rebels will come into the church. And you try all you could do to be a very nice pastor as you preach. I'm talking about rebels. They have their guns, they have machetes, they have knives. They will not wait to slaughter whosoever they will lay hands on. So once you see them in the church, try to be a nice pastor. Preach a very nice compromising sermon. But remember, as you preach, they may want you to preach for their armed forces, that they are good guys. You understand? There are some of those things you don't have to compromise, but you have to attend to it craftily in a way each and every one of us will have a lion's share. So when it comes to prayer, I will pray for the armed forces and say, God, if whatever they are doing is of God, let it last. If it is not of God, let it don't last. They believe what they are doing will last. So they will say amen, and I will get myself freed. When you pray, they will ask you to pray for the head of their armed forces. Who am I not to pray for all children of God? I will pray and pray even for Fode Sankor, the head, and all the fighting men. God help them. If what they are doing is of you, let it last. But we need not have to pray and tell God, they are good guys. You just support them. I would not do it. So you have to be crafty at times. You don't have to be arrogant or pompous when you are handling certain critical issues that may cost you your life. We should stand firm to protect our Christian identity no matter what. We should stand firm for what is permitted to be done ethically as society requires. We should stand to support and stand by the ideals of our Christian faith, though at times it may cost us a lot. At times it may even cost you your life, but remember that the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free physically. Go, you are free. Some are lucky. This truth shall set you free conscientiously. It will make you feel good in your heart. Oh, I have proved that indeed I am a Christian. I have done what is right. You will go in peace. At times, the truth will set you free eternally. You will die because of the truth. Do you believe that? Even the truth can put you in jail. The truth can cause you to lose your job, your home. The truth can make you unpopular. But at the end of it, the truth shall set you free eternally. Do you believe that? Yeah. It is not too easy in a world of the good, the bad, and the ugly to stand for the truth. You will face a lot of opposition, but always remember that the truth will set you free. Men of God throughout biblical history stood for what they believe is the truth according to the word of God. Let us look at 1 Samuel, which gives us a narrative of what transpired between David and Goliath. The children of Israel were in war, battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. The Philistine army was a very strong and popular army. They had a great warrior called Goliath of Gath. He was a tough guy. He had history of victory all over that region of Palestine. Now they will face the children of God. And they drew near to the battle line. The children of Israel were afraid, looking at the structure, thinking about the history, forgetting that they were the chosen nation, chosen children of God, and they were afraid to face the battle. David went to the battle line to give food to his brothers. He observed that the army of the Israelites were so naive. They were shaking. They were afraid. And he said, "Why are you afraid of me, a man? We are the children of God. I'm ready to face him." David, are you blind? Are your eyes open to see the Philistines? Are you ready to fight them? Yes, I will. Saul was the king by then. He dressed David in his armor, but David couldn't move. David said, "Get them off me." He took his shepherd bag and his sling and stones from the brook, and he said, "I will face Goliath." And when Goliath saw him, he laughed. He said, "Am I a dog to be driven with stones and sticks? I will destroy you." And David said to him, "You boast in the name of your gods, but I boast in the name of the God of Israel." Amen. El Elohim Israel, the Lord, the God of Israel. Today, God will deliver you in my hands. Amen. And what happened? The first sling brought Goliath down. Who is in charge of our situations in life? There are a lot of Goliath before us this morning. A lot of Goliath that have cast all kind of words that have made us so timid. You are not qualified. You are not good. You cannot make it. Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you have? But you always remember that the God is in you is greater than the God on earth. We always remember that with God all things are possible. And with God there is no Goliath that you cannot put down. But remember this morning, if you want to put Goliath down, don't dress yourself in borrowed robes. Don't put on the robe of Saul. Be yourself. Amen? Dress. Be yourself. Have confidence in yourself, in your job, in your home, in your community. Be yourself. Face your situation as God has created you, and you will surely succeed. But we fail most of the time because we try to be somebody else. Don't be a Saul this morning. Be a David. Amen. And God will make no mistake when he begins to use you. God knows who he is using. David put down the robes of Saul. He put on his shepherd robe. And victory was assured. There is no Goliath that God cannot put down for you this morning. Who is in charge? God or man? Daniel 3 tells us that around 618 to 536 BCE, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon during the reign of the treacherous and wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image, and he ordered all in his kingdom to worship that golden image. As you know, the Hebrew children are the chosen children of God. They are God's chosen race. And there were there Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were Jews. They said no to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Oh, if you defy me, you will surely die." He set up a burning fiery furnace 10 times as hotter than before. And he said, "If you fail to worship my golden image, my God that I have made for you to worship, I will cast you there." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel 3:17 to 18, "If it be so, the God whom we serve will deliver us from your burning fiery furnace." They challenged him with the word of God. "If it be so, the God whom we serve will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, still we will not worship your God." If even God will not save us, Nebuchadnezzar, we are defying you. We will not do it. We are saying no to you, not by our power, but we are saying no to you in the name of the God of Israel. We are saying no to you. He said, "Okay, I will teach you a lesson you will never forget." He got them bound, tied head to toe. And his soldiers threw them into the burning fiery furnace. Do you know what happened? The soldiers, they died immediately, got burnt and killed by the flames from the furnace. To the amazement of King Nebuchadnezzar and his men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were dancing in the midst of the fire. And there was more to it. A fourth man joined them. Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own eyes, confessed with his own mouth. He said, how is it that I saw three people, but now I saw four people in the fire, and the fourth one looks like the son of the gods? Right in the burning fiery furnace, Jesus was with them. In your burning fiery furnace this morning, Jesus is with you. In your trials and in your tribulation, Jesus is with you. He has promised us in Matthew that he will never leave us nor forsake us unto the end of the earth. In your sick bed, Jesus is in with you. In your unemployment, Jesus is with you. In your poverty, Jesus is with you. In your nakedness, homelessness, in your prison, Jesus is with you. Who is in charge this morning? God. A man. Nebuchadnezzar said, he is in charge. I will put an end to you. But what happened? God was with them, and he saved and protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the amazement of an ungodly king. When we stand for what is right, it may cause us pain, but the testimony will be told. Amen. Some stood for what is right. In the event, they died, but they are at peace with God. But do not compromise your faith just to please man. The Bible tells us that the Jews were afraid that Jesus would become king of the Jews, earthly king. They never knew that his kingdom was not of this world. They gang up against him. And that sacred Good Friday, Jesus was arrested. He was judged. He was killed the same day. And he was buried. He died and rose forever. And after his resurrection, the Act of the Apostles tells us that the apostles started the mission of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. The authorities were aggrieved. They were against the preaching of the apostles about Jesus the Christ, his death and resurrection. And what happened? In Acts chapter 4, Peter and James were arrested, and they were charged not to preach in the name of that Jesus Christ. Never you preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 4, 19 and 20, Peter and John answered before the Jerusalem council whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God. You must judge. For we cannot but speak about what we have seen and heard. You cannot stop us. We must preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Those words touched their hearts. And one of the judges called Gamaliel, he stood and said, let us leave this man alone. Enough is enough. If what they are doing is of God, it will last. Amen. And they were set free. Friends, whatever we are doing, if it is of God, it will last. If it is not of God, it will come to a sudden end. What you are doing with your life, is it of God? If it is of God, it will last. But you know what? The devil never goes to sleep. The devil is always busy. When the devil fails here, it goes there. What happened? The same council in Jerusalem employed a terrorist against the Church of Jesus Christ to move around to kill Christians from one state to another. And his name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was an agent of the Jews to persecute the Christians. Oh, he moved from town to town, killing, destroying God's people. On his road to Damascus, he was struck down by a light. He fell down in Acts, and he had a voice in Acts 9. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He asked the question, and who are you asking me? And the voice said, I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one whom you persecute. That's scary. And he was blind. And God directed him to the house of Ananias in the street called Straight. You know, if you are bent, when God deals with you, he will send you to the street called Straight to make you straight. And you know why Saul was blind when going? So when his eyes are open, he will not know his route to go back. He will just go forward for God. Amen. And if you observe, he was a great scripture writer. Almost all the epistles were written by Paul. And he was the apostles to the Gentiles, the people who were not Jews. So who is in charge? The Council of Jerusalem or God? God. He was going to destroy. But God says, enough is enough. And he was transformed. And God used him. From Saul, he became Paul. You see? All this past week, I'm listening to the news. They celebrated 10 years of Hurricane Katrina. Do you know anybody called Katrina? Do you know? All the ladies that I've met that are called Katrina are very beautiful ladies. But the incident of Hurricane Katrina was so ugly. Currently, there is still a storm going on called Erica. Oh, that beats my imagination. I have a beautiful church member here called Erica. And I saw her yesterday. I said, Erica, why are you so mean? Said, Pastor, it's not me. Looking at the movement of the wind, the analyst will tell you how it moves, 150 miles per hour. The foretold destruction, where the wind is moving to. I say, good, why can't you stop it? Yeah. With all the gadgets, all science and technology. Look at the wind going frivolously. Grab it and stop it. Who is in charge? Who is in charge? We need to know as human beings that we have our limitation. If you are well today, it's because God is in charge, not your doctor. If you are fortunate today, it's not because you are well educated or smart, because of the divine favor of God. If you are up there today, it's not because you are hard working, because God has blessed you so that you will be a blessing to others. When God bless you more than everybody in the church, you should pay tithe more than anybody, and God will give you more. But remember, if you fail, if God is blessing you and you are not paying your tithe and offering, you know that money will go somewhere else. Eh? Rain will come, your basement will just flood, and you spend $5,000. Eh? Things will just start to happen and the money started to go in. But when you bank with God, God sustain and protect it. For what he says, from the devoir, no devoir will touch your money. I know today you will pay big offering because you don't want your money to go. Who is in charge this morning? Jesus was faced with this question of tradition, the washing of hands. But Jesus says, it is not important to me. What am I saying this morning? God is looking for clean hearts and minds, not clean bodies and clean hands. Jesus is not saying we should not take our shower. That is important so that you will look decent as you move around. But what about your heart? Not what goes into a man that defies him, but what comes out. Does what comes out of our mouths loving, good, elevating, helpful, the things we say about others, does it build others up or put them down? How can your clean clothes help you to make it for heaven? But a clean heart will take you to heaven. It doesn't matter how well dressed you are. When you die in your casket, oh, come 2-3 years, all those garments will remain in that grave, but your soul will face Jesus Christ at the last day of judgment. So today, we are talking about a cleansing heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Jesus is not talking about tradition this morning. Traditions are things that are handed over by our ancestors, and they are not inspired by God. Jesus came down on earth to obey the law and the prophets, and to obey what God has told him to do as the Son of God. Oh, Jesus is not saying that all traditions are wrong, but some Jesus will not adhere to. Jesus supported the tradition of celebration of wedding. He went to a wedding feast in Canaan in John 2, verse 1. Jesus went, he celebrated. Wine was over. Mommy turned over. He said, look, we need to get a good time. We need some more wine. Oh, there are a lot of wine bibbers those times, and they drank more heavily wine. Jesus supported the tradition of the feast of dedication because it gives glory to God. He attended the feast of glorification. You can look at John 10, 22 through 23. But Jesus will not support any tradition that goes against the will of God. Plucking corn on the Sabbath day. Jesus and his disciples were hungry. They passed by the field. There was some corn. They plucked some corn and they asked Jesus, why are you doing this on a Sabbath? Jesus said, excuse me? If any of you, your sheep or your goat, get into the pit during the Sabbath, will you leave it to die? No, you will get it out. And Jesus said to them, man is made for the Sabbath, but not the Sabbath for man. Amen. Man is made for the Sabbath, but not Sabbath for man. Oh, the pastor is coming from the man's into the church, and he observed that somebody had seizure in the parking lot. It was just 2 minutes for the service to start. Let the service don't start. Somebody will do it. Theophilus will do it. Mark will do it. So many people will do it. But we need to address the situation at the parking lot by calling 911 and be by the person to resuscitate him. That is good religion. But you see somebody dying, you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm too late. Let me go and worship God and leaving a soul to die. Which kind of a Christian you are? You say it's a tradition. It's a tradition. Once I have put on my pastor's robe, I should not shake the hands of ladies that are not married. Tradition. You know, some religious sects are like that. They believe all the signs and wonders they make in the church, all the rituals, rather than the word of God. This morning, God says we should obey nothing but his word. Amen. You may wash all the things you have at home to save yourself from E. coli and everything. That is good. But if you don't wash your heart, you won't save yourself from hell. So Jesus is saying, what goes into the man is what destroys him. Let us be clean inside out, and we will make it for heaven. The word of God is the good news unto salvation. And we need to live according to the word of God. In all we do, God is in charge. We need to remember that God is the creator. He made the heaven and the earth. Man, however great or small you are just a creature. Do you know that? How can you be so stupid to leave the creator and go to the creature? Is there any sense in it? There is God who is responsible for your life. Day and night, morning and evening. Rain and snow and wind. You leave that God. You go to man. Something is wrong with you. Just pause for a while and ask yourself, who is in charge? The moment we know who is in charge, we will have respect for God and the sacredness of human life. The moment that we know that God is in charge, we will stop all the shooting and killing of innocent lives. No place is safe today. Even the church is not safe. Every day I come to church, I prepare for anything that could happen. Even in Bible studies, you are not safe. Even when you drive through DC, you are not safe. From the year start to now, it's over 135 killings. Nowhere is safe today. But who is in charge of your life? It's God. We know that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Even though we may walk through the midst of the shadow of death, his rod and staff may comfort us, because God is in charge. God bless you.